which is Lisa.
Thanks, Jason. My name's Lisa and I'm an addict.
Hi, Lisa.
I was okay until the end of that reading and I thought, oh my God, it's time. Someone asked me a minute ago, are you nervous? I was like, no, I don't care. Which means yes and yes. It's wonderful to be here, actually. I just was sitting here thinking, I'm not actually that nervous because I feel like I completely belong here and I completely belong sitting up here doing this. And I knew I would end up doing this and I know I will do this, God willing, every year if I'm fortunate enough to be asked. And I knew I would do it from when I first used to come to this meeting and I was still on methadone. I'd been using for about 26 years and I was in a mess and I used to sit over there every Friday and think to myself, one day I'm going to do a share up there. And I did when I was a year clean and it was the, you know, it was a massive deal and it still is a massive deal for me to do it. You know, this is the rewards of my recovery, probably doing this meeting. Because, you know, this to me is like a confirmation of how far I've come, and the people in here are all the people that I've met in the last 3.5 years who've been really supportive and loved me and looked after me, and I've learned loads from them. Excuse me. I only ever get share balls, as I call them, when I come in here. But no, but the thing is, I just sat there and I thought, you know what, I feel really joyful and happy and peaceful and all day, you know how it is, you sort of done about 40 hours of shares today and I just got here and just thought I'm not even going to think about that because the minute that I sit here and open my mouth it's just the gratitude will speak and just I'm really happy to do this, you know. It's took me a long time to get here and now that I'm here I don't intend to go anywhere. You know, and I love NA. I've had sort of a few struggles with it this year, but you know, I question stuff, and unfortunately, I'd rather just be peaceful, let it go, come to meetings, do the steps, see my sponsor, but it isn't as easy as that for me, and I mean, I hear it from loads of other people as well, but on the whole, it's been a wonderful, rewarding experience, and considering that after 26 years of using, I had a very, very small life. It was about the same size as my bedroom. I had my ex-boyfriend and one friend that I used to use with, and that was it. And I didn't have any, you know, I had eroded all my social skills. My personality was gone. I hated myself. And I was finished. I was done in. But the thing is, my grip on drugs and alcohol, my using was so tenacious that, you know, until I battered myself into complete submission, there was no way on this earth that I was going to stop. And as much as I wanted to stop with it, felt like every fibre of my being, I could not stop. And I mean, I started using when I was 17 and stopped when I was 42, and it was, you know, it was hard. If I had been kind of oblivious to it and was enjoying the sort of, you know, hedonism of it, it would have been all right, but it wasn't like that. It was, I mean, there was lots of periods when it was all right, but the seeking behaviour kicked in when I was 17, and it was, I was thinking about this today, actually. I was 15 when my dad died, and I was quite a shy child. I was very obsessed with horses when I was younger, from about the age of 7 till I was about 14. And I mean, obsessed. I used to canter everywhere. I was always wearing my riding clothes. I had this poodle, and I used to make it, poor thing called Jake. I used to make him go over really big jumps on his lead like that, sort of throw him over. And I was in love with Harvey Smith, if anyone knows who he is. And then one day, when I was 14, I suddenly liked boys. But this is when the self-esteem sort of, well, I realised I didn't have any. And it was like, you know that horrible feeling when you're an angst-ridden teenager and you don't know how to communicate with other people? And I always felt less than, and my friend was really confident and she had big tits and she was like a bit of a slag, actually, but bless her. The first boyfriend I got, she slept with him and she babysat for my sister. And I just always remember that. She was a bit of a slag. But the thing is that the thing was that my self-esteem was really low and I never felt good enough and I didn't really know how to communicate. And that was when I was 15, 16. And then my dad died quite suddenly and my mum became a really chronic alcoholic, just went absent. And my mum was really difficult anyway. She was a complete drama queen and just mad, and then throw lots of whiskey into the mix. And it was a really difficult time. So I kind of didn't really get... I wasn't very fully formed when all that happened. And things got so bad, and I was quite sheltered, you know. I had to literally run away from home. I couldn't deal with it anymore. And I don't know how I managed it, but I sort of ended up living with this prostitute who I didn't know she was a prostitute because I was so naive. I just thought she had lots of men friends go in her bedroom. And I just remember I started using Valium and Temazepam and swallowing them with Actifed and lots of horrible stuff like that, and Largactyl, and I'd take anything. And it made me feel disgusting, but I just took it anyway. And it was at that early age that I remember thinking, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And it was always, that stayed with me for the rest of my life. And I still have those two heads, the two voices in my head that say, I don't really want to do that, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, that other one steps in, the bully, I call it. But it took me quite a long time to find drugs that I did like. And that was LSD and speed and, you know, a bit of vodka. And, you know, and to actually start having fun with it. But a really long time. And, you know, and I started using heroin and injecting it when I was 18. And it was just because people said, do this. And I was like, all right then. And it made me really, really sick. And I just remember thinking, I'm going to master this. You know, I'm going to get really good at it. And I did get really good at taking heroin and was really arrogant about it for a really, you know, not the last few years. I sort of cottoned on that it was a bit problematic and you needed to stay away from it. But I was always like, it's just an amazing thing. And only certain people can take it because it's really strong and you've got to be this kind of person to be able to do it and all that old bullshit. And it was the magic cure for me. It was like, you know, it's Wednesday, I better have a bit of gear. Or it's Friday, let's celebrate. Or feeling a bit miserable. Or I'm feeling really happy. Or I'm not feeling anything. And it kind of enhanced my personality. Because the thing is, I don't think there's any drugs in the world that actually have ever knocked me out. And heroin was great. It made me really speedy, really comfortable, and I felt very safe. Because I always had that awful lack of self-esteem. Always had that. And I mean, I was talking to someone a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying, he's not in recovery and doesn't really use, but he was saying, I don't like cocaine, I hate that feeling when you feel all paranoid and edgy. And I said, well, that's what I felt like when I didn't use, you know. And I always had to have something, and it wasn't, even when I didn't have a habit, I just felt so ill at ease within myself. It was, you know, like, it was like having the sound of the, you know, like that white noise that you have sometimes, like the telly, it was like that being turned up really loud. And it was just the panic that I used to get into. Just, you know, my worst fear was sitting by myself with myself, you know, sober, straight, whatever. It was really, really awful. So I just used to use. And it was quite a long time before I was using. I mean, I started off using heavily and then kind of got a grip and moved to London with my son. I had my son when I was 18. And I'm not saying that all the using was terrible, because I had some fantastic times on drugs. You know, I was very much a raver. I was very involved in the free party scene. And I was such a ponce around drugs. I'd be like, I don't like strong drugs. And my best friend, who's 11 years in recovery, she used to sell lots of ecstasy, really strong ones. And I'd be like, I don't like strong drugs. Don't give them to me. You know, and she was always popping them in my mouth. And then they would just stand back and watch me. And they'd go, oh, God, here she goes. And I would get lost in a on the dance floor, just always have my finger in my mouth going, where's my friends? I don't know where anyone is. You know, and make a fool of myself. And they thought it was hysterical. But, you know, and then we'd come down from the E's and we'd have brandy and chocolate milk and then lots of heroin. And, you know, it went on like that for quite a long time. And then, you know, when you sort of realise one day that the party's finished, you sort of stopped taking the ecstasy. You're still sitting listening to the music, but you haven't actually gone out anywhere for months. It was a bit like that. But I was still in the sort of mindset of that's what I was doing. And I was thinking about something else the other day, actually, and it's my memory of things that have happened. Thank you. It's not that it's all terrible, but I just remember feeling really unhappy and always having that sense of unease about everything. And to cut a long story short, what happened was, you know, I was drinking every day, and it's amazing how much you can, how long you can go on doing that. And I think taking opiates and drinking every day and methadone, you can go on for years and nothing really changes, which for me was the worst thing that happened. Nothing really changed. I stayed in the same mindset and it kind of progressively got worse. And then I think I hit rock bottom about 9 years before I stopped. which for me was like a living hell, because, as I said, from the age of 17, I was really aware that I didn't want to be doing it. And, you know, and that I also had this feeling that I quite like being, you know, clean and sober, and I don't want to be doing this, but do it I was. And I was very aware that I had a terrible habit. I was also aware that the voices that used to, the one that used to keep me safe that said, Lisa, don't do this, it was so quiet that the big voice, the bully, was just like, just do it, do it, do it, and became very destructive. And I was really frightened, and I truly thought I would die. I wanted to die. But, you know, that's the thing you don't. I was too cowardly to sort of kill myself. I did quite a lot of horrible self-harming, sort of banging my heads on walls and things. But as I said before, my grip, or its grip on me, was so tenacious, I would not let go of it. And, the thought of stopping taking opiates, I thought it would kill me. And, of course, it doesn't. And I don't really know what happened. I think I started to try to stop. You know, I sort of swapped the heroin for double the methadone and then twice as much vodka. And, you know, and I know as weird as it is and as illogical as it sounds, it was, for me to even consider to try and stop, that was quite a big deal for me to do that. And then I got my boyfriend to move out. I started seeing my friend, who's the one I told you about that's in recovery, started talking to my son. My son is also 3 years in recovery, which is the biggest joy to me. He's just celebrated his 27th birthday. He's doing service at another meeting up the road. And then, you know, start to go to meetings. And I went to a meeting once before and just thought, well, shit, they're all talking about God, they're all moaning. And also, I thought it was too simple. I just thought, you know, I'm so complex, I need 4 doctors and a sanitarium. Everyone's got to be wearing white. It was this thing, everything has to be white, because my flat was so shabby and dirty, and I felt really dirty. But then I started going to meetings, and I went to hundreds of meetings, it felt like, and this one being one of them. And just, you know what, I just sat and listened, and I was in a total mess, but I did a methadone detox in the rooms, then I did a Subutex detox in the rooms, did a day programme, went to lots of meetings, met all the people that I know in here, and just kept doing it. I didn't have a wobble this year, but I did question it loads. And the thing is, that self-will that kept me using doesn't go away for me. It stopped me engaging with meetings. I felt really guilty. I didn't want to tell anyone because I thought they'd think I was disloyal to the fellowship. And it's really, really difficult going through that, because you know what? I'm really spiritual now. I love myself. I love my friends. The minute that the voice started up, I became quite bitter and I lost a bit of my faith, which I've had to work really hard to believe in bloody higher power. I don't even like saying the word, but that started to slip away a bit. And it was only until it got really, really painful that it got better. And I think that will be my pattern throughout my recovery. I'm always going to fight, but part of me is always going to fight it, because you know what? It doesn't come easy, this stuff, sometimes. But I'm 45 now, and so I'm 3 years, 3 months clean, and that's 3 years into my brand new life. I'm really happy. My life is really, really simple. I can sleep at night. I'm not frightened. I don't hate myself. I love my friends. All my friends are in NA, which is fantastic, because the common denominator is that, you know, we've all been in that place. And my son is in recovery. My best friend is in recovery. And the thing is, if you're new in, I used for 26 years, and I hated my life. I hated it. And I just say to people, you know what, and it's only just in the last month that I've been able to say out loud, and it makes me almost want to cry, I really regret what I did. I wish I could have stopped. Because what a wasted life, you know. All that. No one deserves to go through that. And I think if you've got your foot in the door in here, to give yourself a chance, because the thing is that I found out is that in things staying the same, that's as worse as it can get. I think for me the worst thing was that it was never going to change, and it just went on and on and on, and the monotony, it just kills your spirit, and I don't think anyone should go through that. It's wonderful to be here, as I said, and I've done really well. I haven't managed to mention Christmas. I just saw the Christmas tree and thought, oh God, not that again. But I hope you all have a wonderful Christmas, and I love you all. Thank you.